Welcome. So, what series are we in now? Make Room. All right, Make Room. All right. So last week, Pastor kicked off our Make Room series, part one, which is talks about the person of the Holy Spirit. All right, and Pastor was sharing who the Holy Spirit is to us. Okay, so can you remember or not who the Holy Spirit is? Person. He's the first one, our helper, right, in John 14:16. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to help us, right? And then the second one is that he is a spirit of truth, okay? And the last one is the Holy Spirit gives us the assurance of salvation, all right? So today, we're going to talk about part two of the Holy Spirit, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay? Some of you are asking, wow, what is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? You know, as we go through later on, you know, you all will understand a little bit about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and also spiritual gifts that comes along the way. Okay? So, before we begin, all right, I want to read the Bible from Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. No, it's not 2, it's 1 to 12 and verses 17. All right? Shall we read, church? Are we ready? All right, let's go. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Yeah, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. You know, when I talk about language, right, I always like to share about this one incident that I have. There was once I went to Johor. Johor. You know where Johor is? Right? It's down south, right? Down south, all the way south. And you know, in Johor, they speak Hokkien as well. Do you know that? Yeah? But do you know that their Hokkien is different? Yeah, I didn't know. So when I went there, right, I went to go and order char kway teow, famous Penang char kway teow, right? So in Johor, they also have their char kway teow. So I ordered char kway teow, right? Char kway teow is fried noodles, right? For those of you who don't know what char kway teow is. So I went and ordered. Then the uncle asked me, I ham bo. Okay, he asked me in Hokkien, I ham bo. So I heard, do you want cockles? Right? I hum. So I said, yeah, I got jay. You know, I want more. I said, I want more cockles. I told him, I got jay. I told him, I want more. Then after that, he fried, he brought over. Then I was eating, you know. So, oh, so spicy, you know. It's over the hill spicy. And I was like, you know, those of you who know me, I can eat spicy food. But this is like over the top. I was like sweating. And as I eat, right, I realized there's no cockle at all. Zero. So I was like wondering what went wrong. Maybe he got my order wrong. Okay, it's fine. Never mind. You know, so when I went and pay. And then I asked him, Uncle, I asked him in Hokkien, why is your char kway teow so spicy? You know, hami su ane lua eh? I asked him, right? Then he answered me, ha, you must come from Penang. You know, tato si Penang lah eh. He said, over here we call it hiam. In Penang it's called lua. So down south, hiam is spicy, right? Up north, spicy is lua. It's two different, although it's the same language, but it's two different word that they use, right? So sometimes when we speak in other languages, other tongues, right, we have to be very careful. Okay? All right. Verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Right? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Okay, verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Okay, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Right? What did they hear? They hear people telling the mighty works of God. Okay, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And in verse 17, right, it says that in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit and all on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream. Okay, let's try that again. No. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We just pray, God, as we read your word and understand it, Lord, we pray that you come, speak to us, touch us, Lord. Let the outpouring of your Holy Spirit come upon this place, Lord, that today we leave this place different. By the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what do we know about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Right? And as usual, you know, in order to know something, it's good that we go dig a little bit deeper. Okay, and from the top down, I'm going to share with you a little bit about the historical recordings of Holy Spirit and also the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, everybody, church. All right. Okay. It was first mentioned in Acts chapter 8, 1 verse 8 by Jesus when he says, "But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit." Okay, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, you remember a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jadi came, right? And he was talking about God's commission. God's commission is our mission. God's commission is our mission. And our mission is actually to go out and preach the gospel, all right? So this is what Jesus said. You know, you need to know different tongues so that you can go out and preach the gospel. Right, so this is the first recording of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and it was first experienced by the apostle in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says that, and they, the apostles, right, were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in the upper room. Remember, it was the day of Pentecost, and they all gathered in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. All right, okay, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happened after that? This was in the first century, right? In the first century when Jesus was just died, all right? First century. And what happened after that? You know what this is? Those of you remember that if you have TV, probably like 20 years back, you have TV 1, 2, and 3, right? After 12 midnight, there's no more movies already, right? And then you have this, and you get the sound, right? Okay? There was a long pause from the first century after the time of the apostles, the age of the apostles, right? There was a long pause. There were no recordings of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Until when? Do you all know when? The modern day recording of the move of the Holy Spirit was in 1906. Okay, 1906 is called the first wave, which is the Azusa Street Revival, right? Led by Pastor William J. Seymour. Okay, you can see right what he says here. The revival was characterized by spiritual experiences. Okay, so from the first century until 1906. There were no recordings of spiritual experiences accompanied with testimonies of physical healing, miracles, worship services, and speaking in tongues. Okay? So there was a long silence for 1900 years. Right? Nothing. Quiet. And then, William J. Seymour kicked off the first wave. Okay? And then the second wave was in 1960, called the Charismatic Movement. Pastor Dennis Bennett, all right, Pastor Dennis Bennett, he claimed that he was baptized in the Spirit, and because of that, the traditional church actually forced him to resign, okay? They couldn't accept it because they said, we do not believe in the move of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit, so they asked him to resign. And what happened? He came out, and then he founded the Christian Renewal Association, okay? This is called the birth, the charismatic movement, okay? So there are two groups here. The first group are the Neo-Pentecostals, whereby they stayed on in their church, right, but they believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit. So they stayed on in experience speaking tongues while remaining in their traditional churches. And then you have the second group called the Neo-Charismatics. Right? These are the people who actually left their traditional churches and start a new denomination, something like Vineyard Movement, AG, and all those things. Okay, so these two groups. So what happened? By the year 2000, right, so we're talking about 40 years, by the year 2000, this group became the second largest branch of Christianity, all right, behind the Roman Catholic now, okay? First one is the Charismatic Movement has 176 million people, the New Charismatic has 295, Pentecost has 66 million, and out of 27% of all Christians, and almost 60% of Christians are all Pentecost, are Protestants, okay? So it has become one of the biggest movement, all right? And then, did it stop there or not? It didn't stop there because in 1984, which is the third wave. How many of y'all heard about the Toronto blessing? The holy laughter, right? A lot of y'all heard of it before. Have you experienced it? Anyone? it's okay if you put your hand. Yeah, you have one, two, three. Anyone else? Three only in the room. Okay. You know, when I was a youth, I attended this youth camp, right? So I was in youth camp, and this thing happened. So we were all slain, you know, filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not the alcohol spirit, okay, the right spirit, okay? So we were filled with Spirit, and we were all laughing. And I tell you, the laughter was, I've never laughed before that way, you know, and it really hurts, you know, your stomach cramp. Oh. When you stand up also, I cannot stand, right? So it's really, it was a different kind of experience, you know, that we experienced. So, I mean, looking at it, right, and hearing about it, how many of you would like to experience this kind of holy laughter, you know, that kind of joy that comes from within? Put your hands down. Okay, everybody wants, ah? Okay, great. Later, we will try. Okay, great. So, looking at the history, right, 1906, 1960, and then 1984, right, in this short 100 years, there was three waves of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, but the question still remains, why in 1906, all the way down to first century, all the way down to 1906, right, how come the Holy Spirit was quiet? Did the Holy Spirit go on vacation, you know, or did Holy Spirit, take a rest and feel that, oh, it's not time to come? I don't think so. You know why? Because when the survey was being done, all right, the survey was being done, and the question was asked, do you know who God is? Do you know who God is? Everyone, all the Christians can answer, you know, oh, God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? You all saw this chart last week when Pastor showed you all. God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay? Father is not Son, Son is not Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is not Father, but they are in each other, okay? And they glorify one another. So those of you who still haven't worked out how to use this chart, right? I just showed you how to use it, okay? All right, it's quite simple, right? People say, yes, I believe in God. I believe Holy Trinity, three in one. But when it comes to the question, do you believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? This is where people are like, no, I have not experienced it. I have not seen it. Therefore, I don't believe in it. Okay? So this is one of the reasons why, probably the main reason why there was a long pause between the first century and 1906. You know, if you look at the Holy Spirit, right? Okay? People have serious questions regarding the evidence of the spiritual gifts. You know why? Because the first thing is, there are many books and literatures out there today that speaks against the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and post-apostolic church. Okay, post-apostolic church means it's us lah. Okay, apostolic time means it's apostolic age, means the first century during the time of the apostles. Past that, there are many books and literatures that speak against that, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, especially now in the cyber world, right, where everything is all the information is at your fingertips, right? You can just click, click, things comes out. And sometimes if you do not dig deeper and understand, then you will be misled. For example, how many of you heard of margarine? Many heard, right? How many of you actually still take margarine? Wow, no hands . Okay, I can guess why. Because they say that margarine is one molecule away from plastic. And it was originally created to fatten up turkeys, correct? Is that what you all read in the messages or internet and things like that? Is it true? Am I saying correct or not? You all heard of this? How many of you all heard of that, what I just said? Margarine is one molecule away from plastic, and it was created to fatten turkey, right? So my mom, you know, she's like a health freak, so she always said, no, don't take margarine, rah, 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 rah. Right? So I went dig a little bit deeper and find, I found out, okay, you know, margarine was actually created for what reason? It's because during the World War, they couldn't take butter with them because butter would melt. Right? So they actually asked the scientists to come up with something that's similar to butter that doesn't melt at all. Okay? So they can bring with them to war. So that when they're hungry, they can take out and they can put on their bread and eat. Okay? So it's not about fattening turkey, it's white in color, it's one molecule of plastic. So that's the thing. That's the problem with the current age, is that we do not dig deeper, and then we thought that that is the truth. Okay? So likewise. Okay? So we need to dig a little bit deeper when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Okay? The second thing of why there is a long pause. You know, it could be because the world is filled with skepticism and doubts of the existence of God, and his divine miracles. Okay? I talk to a lot of people, and sometimes, you know, I like to ask the question, do you believe in a God? Or do you believe in God? Okay? Some yes, some no. Right? And then those who say no, that's when I get really excited because I was, wow, okay, next question. How did the world come about? Right? Then, of course, they're going to say, oh, the Big Bang Theory and all those things and blah, blah, blah. Right? Of course, this is another subject for another day, you know? But I just want to let you know that in this world now, there are a lot of skepticism because why? People think that, you know, with so much information, I am smarter. All right? Okay? So people doubt the existence of God and his divine miracles. And probably the third reason why is also because believers themselves, okay, do not know how to use the spiritual gifts. All right? So if you look at this, especially number three, you say, am I that person? Right? It's just like you're given a bicycle for your birthday and you don't know how to ride it. Okay? So you have it, but you don't know how to use it. Okay, so these are probably the three reasons why there is a long pause, okay, between the first century and 1906, all right? And this guy named Tony Campolo, okay, he's a cessationist. What is a cessationist? A cessationist is a person who does not believe in the Holy Spirit after the apostles, the time of the apostles, okay? That means after the first century, he said, nope, Holy Spirit no more, the gifts no more. Okay? It's only that time, that one and only time, first and last. That are cessationists. So Tony Campolo is actually a cessationist. And he wrote a book, I mean, a quite interesting book. The book says, How to be Pentecostal, all right? Remember, Jenna, I was talking about Pentecostal. Pentecostal is the move of the Holy Spirit, right? Correct? That's where Pentecostal movement comes. How to be Pentecostal? Without speaking in tongues. Can you be Pentecostal without speaking in tongues? Can you be Chinese if you are born into an Indian family? Or can you be Indian if you're born in a Chinese family? You cannot, right? Okay, so if you're Pentecostal, you should be able to speak in tongues. So in his book, I'm taking excerpts of the book, okay? That's why it's a bit wordy here. He says the Spirit becomes a dynamic presence in the lives of those Christians who know that there is more to being a Christian than just believing the right doctrines and practicing the right rituals. So what is he saying? He said that, hey, Holy Spirit is actually more important for those people who knows. Okay? And secondly is that the Holy Spirit always upsets the status quo. Okay? The Spirit disrupts old order of things and ushers in a new openness. New. The Spirit is a new wineskin in the old wineskin and a new cloth on the old garment. Okay? Those who want everything to remain as it was ought not to get involved with the things of the Spirit because the ministry of the Spirit makes all things what? New. Okay, makes all things new. The day we accepted Jesus into our hearts, right? The day we accepted Jesus into our hearts, we are a new creation. The old have gone, the new have come. Okay? So, with this, we know that when we become Christians, we are new. Okay? We are new. All right? So, what is stopping us from using the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Nothing, right? Okay? So, as we read all these historical recordings, right, and also as some examples, you know, we can look back and say, actually, probably based on Bible cannot be wrong, right? The move of the Holy Spirit is there. It's evident. It's evident. And it can be manifested again in our lives. So how do we do it? How do we get new things happening in our life? Right? The question here that we want to ask today is, do you want to see new things in your life? How many of you want to see new things in your life? All right? Okay, let me ask again because some people are still thinking. I give you 2 seconds. One, two. Okay, how many people of you want to see new things in your life? All right, more hands. Okay, great. Those of you who have not put up your hand, probably after this you will. Okay, I'm going to ask the same question again. Okay. All right, if you want to see new things in your life, then you need to experience the supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in whose life? Your own life, okay? Once you experience a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in your life, you know, you will see new things happening, all right? So, church, are you ready or not to learn how can we experience this supernatural move of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready, church? I'm going to share with you, all right, three keys. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How do we experience that? How do we get it? Okay, and it's three F words. three F words, and they're all four letter. Okay, I know what you guys are thinking, because when I told that to my wife gave me that. So I told her, to the pure, all things are pure. So why I choose four letter, because it's easy for people to remember and relate, okay? Okay? So it's only three. The first F, are you ready in our church? All right, to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the first F is fill. The word is fill, F-I-L-L, four words, four letters. Okay, the Holy Spirit fill us. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Okay, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. All right, we read that just now. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house, okay, where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. In these four verses, right, I like to point out two words. The first word is wind, okay? And the second word is fire. Okay, why these two words? Because these two words are very significant words. Okay, wind and fire signifies the presence of God. Okay, let me show you. In Ezekiel, the parable of the dry bones. Do you all remember? Okay, parable of dry bones. Ezekiel 37, verse 9, it says that, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. You know wind come from four sides, right? Do you know that? It doesn't come from random places. That's why sometimes if wind come together at four sides, then you see tornado happening. Okay, so come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Live, okay? This is new life, all right? In the Old Testament, last week, I borrowed this word from Pastor, right? Last week, as you know, Old Testament is written in Hebrews, right? New Testament is written in Greek. Okay, great. So the Old Testament word for breath or wind is ruach. Okay, ruach. If you want to say it properly, you got to have a little bit of phlegm in your throat. Ruach. If not, it's going to sound rough. Okay, ruach. Ruach is breath, wind, or spirit, okay? And in the context of Ezekiel, wind or breath, okay, or breathe is new life. Because the bones, they came to life. So now we sang the song, right? Dry bones awaken, okay? Dry bones awaken. And who can do that? Only God can do that, all right? Only God can do that. Second thing, the second word that I pointed out is fire. I'm sure you all know this scene, right? This is from Moses, right? Moses, when he led the Egyptians out, when he led the Israelites, right? Just to make sure that you guys are awake. When he led the Israelites out of Egypt, okay? By day, God led the people with a pillar of cloud. By night, pillar of fire, all right? Pillar of fire. So in the Old Testament, word for fire is known as ash, okay? E-S, all right, but it's pronounced ash, as in, you know, when you fire, you have ash, okay? And in the context of Exodus, right, fire means presence of God, presence of God. So church, if you want to experience new life and you want the presence of God in you, then you need to open your heart. You need to make room, all right? Make room for the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can experience a new life, in the presence of God. All right? Are we okay, church? Are we still awake? Am I going too fast? I hope not. Right? As we share, right, as we share with you all, right, you know, a lot of times we remember, right, what is shared on Sunday. So those who take notes, probably you remember the important points. Okay? That could be probably 70% of the message, right? And if you don't take notes, probably when you walk out of the room, you remember 30%. Right? And then tomorrow, probably you'll only retain like, what, 15%. And by Tuesday, it's only 2%. So if you go to life group and then somebody, your life group leader asks you, so what did you learn about on Sunday? I remember the fire because it's moving. So because it's moving, right? So what we're going to do is today, after we share, you know, the secrets, the three keys, all right, to experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we're going to let you try. Are you excited, church? All right? Okay, we're going to let you try and let God touch you today. All right. Let's move on. The second F word is flow, okay? F-L-O-W, flow, four letter. All right? The Holy Spirit flow through us. Okay, let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 11. It says that both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling. Okay, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. All right, so when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what flowed out through them? Words. Words in other tongue, which what? Declares the mighty work of God. All right? It's a mighty work of God. In New Testament now, right? Acts is New Testament. It's in Greek. Greek for tongues or languages is glossa. All right? Glossa. All right? And, you know, as you look at speaking in different languages, right? Simple languages. You know, if, let's say, remember earlier Jesus says, go out to the four corners of the world and preach to the people there, right? Okay? If you can speak other glossa, then it helps a lot, right? Because why? Speaking in tongues actually emphasizes the universal outreach of the church, okay? Remember, Jenna, I say, God's commission is our mission, right? And just like David and Maraca, right, they're on a mission now and they're going out around to different nations and countries, okay? So being able to speak other languages is always good and added advantage so that you can reach out to people so that when you go to Johor, you don't order char kway teow ai hiam, okay? All right? Okay, so what is every nation's belief? What is every nation's belief? We're talking about speaking in tongues, outreaching. What is every nation's belief? Hashtag ENCP HGMD. This is our Every Nation Church Penang HGMD. What is HGMD? This is our belief. HGMD. One more time. HGMD. All right. If you don't know, right, it's over there, very big. Honor God, make disciples. All right? If you want to honor God and make disciples, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit and you allow God's Holy Spirit to work in you so that you can go and then you can do amazing things for God. All right? Okay? Jesus also said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, how are you going to be effective if you don't allow the work of the Holy Spirit to work in you? Right? You know, you may go there thinking that this is what I want to do. But when you go there, you know, like those days, the missionaries, I really respect them. Like what Pastor Balan said, right? His grandfather was a head hunter, right? They chop off people's head. So imagine if you're a missionary, would you go there? Likely you go there, they chop off your head and eat you know, the rest of your body, right? So these are really amazing people who believe and trusted God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in them so that when they go, they know that they have the protection of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is what we call the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, okay? All right? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, why did I pick this verse 4? Why? Because I just want to show to you that when Holy Spirit fills us and flows through us, right? And when we speak, it is not the Holy Spirit speaking through us. Okay? It's not the Holy Spirit speaking through us. It is actually the Spirit giving us or the apostles the ability to speak in different glossa, different languages. Okay? It is the ability given by the Holy Spirit. So a lot of y'all, those of you, how many of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Can I see your hands? All right. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, right, you speak in tongues, right? Correct? You guys speak in tongues. So this is exactly what it is. Okay? You speak in tongues. Those of you who have not, it's okay. Later, we will try. Okay? We will open up the altar and then you all can come for those of you who want, all right, to receive. So again, when the Spirit comes upon you, fills you, it is not Him. It's not the Spirit that speaks. It is you. Because God has given us the ability. All right? Okay? So, what do we need to do as Christians? We need to make room for the Holy Spirit to flow through us so that we can declare the mighty works of God. All right? Remember, what the other people heard, you know, generally the Jews, the Arabians, the Cretes and all, whatever they heard is all about the declaring of the mighty works of God. Okay? All right, church? So first one, feel. Second one, flow, all right? And it's the third last F word, okay? Third last four letter F word, which is fire, F-I-R-E, fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit enables us, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says that in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy, okay, and young men shall see, and old men shall dream. Dreams, all right. How many of you all want to prophesy? Okay, we have a few hands. How many of you all see visions? That means you can see something that, you know, going to happen in the future. How many of you all want to dream dreams? I think everybody wants to dream dreams, right? You know, it's like the best. You get the best slumber, you know, sometimes. Okay, how many of you all actually pray for your sleep? Before you sleep, say, God, pray that you give me good sleep. Yeah, we have a few, okay? It's okay. Don't worry. It's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I encourage you, you know, if you're very tired and you cannot sleep and things like that, ask God to give you good sleep, good rest, you know? And when you wake up, you'll be so recharged because God's Spirit is going to work through you, okay? All right? And you're going to dream dreams. All right? So, looking at the apostles, they were in the upper room, right? In the upper room. And they saw fire coming upon them. And it divided, right? Fire divided. And then started going on each and everyone's head. And what happened? They start to prophesy. They start to see vision. And they start to dream dreams. And they started speaking out in tongues and declaring the great works of God. You know, you cannot declare the great works of God if you do not, if you have not received a prophecy, if you have not seen a vision, if you have not dreamed something, right? Correct or not? So, you look at these pictures, right? I purposely choose this one. If you can see, the eye, right? It's a love there. Anyway, when we allow God's Spirit to work in us, this is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All right? These are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, Paul also said that prophesying is good because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, he says that the one who prophesies, okay, speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. You know, there are times when we get beaten down in a day, you know, we lose out at a negotiation table and we get frustrated. Right, people ridicule us, our spouse fight with us, our children take advantage of us, and then we get so tired and frustrated and angry, and then we don't turn into Hulk. Okay, but comes a brother or sister, right, and in the right moment, in the right time, prophesy on you, give you a word that speaks to you, touches your heart, that builds you up, that lifts you up. How amazing it is, right? How amazing. Likewise, prophecy is good. It's a good thing. Paul said it. You know, it speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And also, he continued on to say, right, in verse 4, it says that the one who prophesies builds up the church, okay? Don't leave the building of the church to the pastor and to the leaders, okay, or to the worship leaders, or to the ushers. You, as you're seated there today, you know, that one word of prophecy builds the church. It builds the church. You know, sometimes, right, when we are worshiping God, and then a word comes to your mind, all right? And then you say, no lah, it cannot be. No lah, God, it's not what you want me to say, or it's not what you want to say. So it's okay, fine. God, maybe don't use me lah. I'm a nobody, you know. Use that person, you know. All right? Okay, God, got a deal? Deal? All right. Cool. I just want to come to church, observe. Okay? All right? Sometimes we do that. All right? But let me tell you, I have tried before. I mean, it has happened to me before that this, especially like even this morning, two person came and prayed for me. All right, and gave me a word. And it was such an encouragement, you know, for me to, just before I come up to share the word with you all. Right, and it's amazing. It just speaks right into my heart. And likewise, you know, there are times when I pray for somebody, right? I also do the same thing, and we speak to the person just received and started crying and all. You know, so prophesying is not bad. When God asks you to say one word to the person next to you, just do it. Just trust God and watch how amazing that word can do to the person's life and also yours. Because as the other person, you know, receives that healing, right? I tell you, you receive that healing as well. Okay? All right? Okay. So, church, make room, all right, for the fire of the Holy Spirit to enable you with gifts of prophecy, visions, and dreams. All right? So don't hold back. Don't hold back. All right? The three keys to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is, number one, fill. Number two, flow. Number three, fire. So are you all ready or not, church? Are you all ready or not to receive or experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready, church? Are you excited? Okay, I know some of you looking at watch and say, wow, not so early, end already. Okay, I'm going to end with this story, okay, about a guy named Dwight L. Moody. Why I end so early is because so that we can have some time to pray, and then we also want to pray for you guys as well. All right? So we're going to let the Holy Spirit work. Sometimes talk is not enough, but experiencing it is different. Okay? Who is Dwight L. Moody or D.L. Moody? He's a preacher, evangelist. He has a church, okay, in Chicago. And do you know that he has the biggest church at the time in Chicago, right? And every time when he preached, many thousands of people come. People got saved, you know. People get saved. People come to the church and, you know, things happen. But, you know, every time when he preached, he realized, right, that there's these two women who sat in the front row, okay? Just like Edwin and Sue, they sit in front. But as he preached, right, these two ladies pray. So he was wondering, why are they praying? Why are they not listening to his sermon? So one day, in 1871, okay, this is taken from his biography, right? From his biography. In 1871, he decided to talk to the two women, right? So after service, he went around and asked them, hi, you know, small talk, da da da, how are you? God bless you, da da da. Then he asked, I noticed that every time when I'm preaching, I noticed that, you know, you, both of you are praying. Why? You know what were the answer? Very amazing. I'm praying for you. Say, what? Me? You pray for me? So he actually sat down and talked to them. Why don't you pray for the people? Right? Then they said, no, we're praying for you, for the move of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and this is what he said. I'm going to read for you. This is what he said. I thought I had power. D.L. Moody said this. I had the largest congregation in Chicago, and there were many conversions. I was, in a sense, satisfied. Okay? But right along, those two godly women kept praying for me, and their earnest talk about anointing for special service set me to thinking. Okay? So when they told him about the Holy Spirit, he started thinking. I asked them to come and talk with me, and they poured out their hearts in prayer that I might receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. All right? See? Two women. God used two women. There came a great hunger into my soul after that conversation. I didn't know what it was. I began to cry out as I never did before. This is D.L. Moody, the greatest preacher at that time with the biggest church, all right? He cried out and he said this, I really felt that I did not want to live if I could not have this power for service. You know, sometimes we may be just like D.L. Moody. We may be just attending church because we feel nice. We may be just attending church because we like the music. We may be attending church because of free aircon, you know. Or we are just spectators. We just come and watch, you know, like a game, like football, basketball, you know, game. We come and watch, you know. And we never really set ourselves to thinking about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, and how we, as a member of this family, can contribute to bringing the church to another level. And so today, church, I want to challenge you all, right? We have about 10, 15 minutes left, right? I want to challenge you all. You know, as the worship team, they start playing and singing. take some time, all right? Don't rush yourself. Probably say a short prayer to the Lord. God, I want to experience you. I want something new in my life. I want your presence in me. So let your Holy Spirit pour into my heart. All right?